It's time to take a TO. You're listening to Take a TO with Coach Steve Turner and your host, Kirk Cross. Each episode, we take you inside the DMV sports scene and beyond. Sponsorship and advertising opportunities are available. And now, welcome to this week's episode. It's time to take a TO. Here's your host, Kirk Cross, with Coach Steve Turner.
Welcome to Take a TO with Coach Steve Turner. I'm your host, Kirk Cross, and we welcome you, our audience, to episode 19. You can find us on Spotify, Buzzsprout, iHeartRadio, Apple Music, and just about anywhere you get your podcast content. We are a weekly podcast where we talk local and national sports. We talk life. We might jump into some tough subjects, and of course, we talk WCAC athletics. Thanks for listening, and again, we welcome you to episode 19. Before we get into this week's episode, Coach Turner, how you been, sir?
Man, I'm going to say I've been relaxed.
Well, you've been on spring break.
Been on spring break.
Okay.
An opportunity to step away from a little bit of everything that's Gonzaga, a little bit of everything that's—
Did you throw the alarm clock out the
basketball
window?
Basketball. I don't even use an alarm clock, Curtis.
Okay.
For years, I'm on a clock. I wake up same time every day.
Dog, I wake up at 6-something every morning with no clock.
Every day, no clock.
Right?
I don't need it. I'm out. So didn't have to do that. But what did you do? I said, I don't have to get up when I wake up.
Okay.
I can lay there for a couple more hours if I want.
Hit the remote control, turn something on.
Turn something on. Give myself some white noise in the back so I can knock back out.
If you want.
If I want. And just chill. And just chill.
Oh, good for you, man. Look, we have been treated to some great hoops in the Women's and Men's March Madness tournament. We've got some storylines, and we got a night and a weekend of action to look forward to.
I'm excited.
How about, I bet you no one would have said Mr. Marcel and Wolfpack would have gotten where they got to.
No.
You're on that hot streak you talk about.
I thought after the run they made in ACC,
right?
Could they, I just didn't believe they'd have any more legs.
In the tank, right?
And they are on a mission. They have figured it out, and they are in the final four.
And they got Robert Tractor Trailer's little cousin in the paint, don't they?
It's crazy. Have you seen pictures of him when he coming out of high school?
No.
Oh, you got to Google him, because I didn't realize his whole path.
Okay.
Started off Tennessee.
Okay.
I believe redshirted.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up transferring to Winthrop.
Okay.
And transferred back up.
Okay.
Talking about living your best life.
It's a story to watch.
Living in the moment,
mm-hmm.
enjoying what you're doing.
Right.
I gotta get the DJ.
Right.
Go DJ. His props. He's just loving basketball and loving what he's doing. I mean, even the stuff on the side. Last night or after the game, he was still in uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Went down to the security booth of the people who helped run the stadium and took pictures with all of them.
Right.
Like He's living in the moment, man.
I'll tell you what you're not going to do. You're not going to jump up and chest bump with him. He might knock you
no,
off
he,
good.
He almost put one of his teammates out.
You saw that?
Almost ended his career. Don't do that. But I think, shout out to my man, because Coach Kevin Keats and I have been friends for a very, very long time. We go back to the beginning days of the MBPA's basketball camp as coaches who were liaisons, and I always mess with him when I see him win, because I shoot him a text, and those who know what I'm saying when I say this understand it, and probably only those will understand it. And I told him, I said, man, from the toilet bowl game
right.
to where you are now, winning the national championship as an assistant under Patino,
mm-hmm.
and now carving out his own path to potentially do it as a head coach. And the things that he's done from his days of being a high school coach, down in VA, to now head coach in the ACC. I mean, people forget, if he loses in the NCAA in the ACC tournament,
he doesn't have a job.
He's probably looking for a new job.
Right.
And I'll say this: shout out to his agent, because his agent put in some great clauses for him. Because right now he's winning.
Right. We're talking about DJ Burns Jr., the player we're talking about.
Yes, sir.
Who's a graduate student, 6'9", 275, from York Preparatory Academy. That's one of his paths, Rock Hill, South Carolina. By the way, you know what? We don't even usually talk about all this before we hit our first break, but did I see a name coaching the McDonald's All-American men's team, a name that's been on our podcast before?
My dog.
Sharma?
Sean White.
I did see that, didn't I?
Yeah, I spent this morning watching a little bit of the replay of their scrimmage, the big games tomorrow night.
Okay.
They actually won the scrimmage on a buzzer beater from another guy that spent some time with us a couple summers ago, Liam McNeely. Plays a shooting guard down in Mount Verde. He hit a buzzer beater from the corner. Mm-hmm. Looked like Sean put in one of them Sean plays to win the game.
Right,
and
but
so,
that's
yeah, he's Sean's still doing some great things.
Steve, quiet as this kept. We have a roster of alumnus from this show. That Caleb Williams, Steve Francis, Sharm. We've had
AZ Fudd,
my man, the broadcaster.
Chris Likes, Chick Hernandez.
We've had him.
We've had him. Mitch in the house sitting right next
here
to us.
Right, so we've done some things.
But no better person sitting here than
who's that?
Your brother.
My brother.
Buckaroo.
Casey O'Neal. We gotta bring him back in.
He said he'll come back whenever. We gotta bring Coach back in.
The Buckaroo.
I'd love to see his bracket right now. I got to check in with him, see who he went for.
I want to know if anybody has a good bracket. I mean, I got South Carolina on the women's side and UConn on the men's side.
Leah Turner.
She's got a great bracket right now?
She's got two of the Final Four.
Okay, all right.
And it's not the obvious ones.
Oh, she got Alabama in there?
She has Alabama, NC State.
And NC State?
Going to the finals.
Leah, what? I need to... Is she the one playing the Powerball right now? Because you said you're playing it. She needs to buy the ticket.
Hey, I need her to pick some numbers.
Look, this week we're going to get into a controversial, fascinating, and popular subject, which is the youth AAU and prep hoops scene. We will also cover March Madness, but first we'll take a break and come back with this week's Starting Five.
You're listening to Take It TO with Coach Steve Turner and your host, Kirk Cross.
A-Squared Home and Office Solutions. A-Squared is the go-to source for home and office network and audiovisual solutions. They will link technology to your lifestyle seamlessly. Visit homeandofficesolutions.com for more info.
From Washington, D.C. to Ocean City, Woodbridge to Columbia, Richmond to Virginia Beach, the hottest DJs are right here. The Mid-Atlantic Professional DJ Association.
Insurance Alliance Group manages the gap between damage appraisal estimates from your insurance company and what you are rightfully owed based on your policy. They work on behalf of policyholders with claim assistance and disputes to maximize claims. Insurance Alliance Group serves as professional advisors and trusted advocates. The Insurance Alliance Group handles business and home property loss. Request a free claim review with the property loss professionals. Insurance Alliance Group. Visit us at insurancealliancegroup.com or call 866-574-4773.
And now, back to Take It TO with Coach Steve Turner and your host, Kurt Cross.
The Starting Five. Welcome back to Take It to You with Coach Steve Turner. I'm your host, Kurt Cross, and we are now at our Starting Five. This is where I ask Coach Turner five questions he's never seen or heard from me, and he has 30 seconds to answer each question. If he goes over those 30 seconds, that is what you will hear. I'm not asking if you've seen him because you lie to me every week, and it's April Fool's Day. I'm not falling for your business. Look, we have a righteous Starting Five, so let's get to it. It's all about growing up. What?
Nothing.
It's all about growing up. So growing up, tell me your celebrity crush. Oh. Mine was Jane Kennedy.
Oh.
I can tell you that right now.
Oh, man. Pam Grier.
All right. Growing up, tell me the fashion piece or statement that you could not live without.
Oh, that's a good one.
Shell top Adidas. Was it a Kango? What was it?
Wow.
I know you loved your kicks.
Yeah, it had to be just in general. Sneakers.
The shoe game was your thing.
Shoe game was my thing.
You and Corey Cooley. Corey's all about the shoes.
Shoe game was my game.
All right. Growing up, a game you went to or were a part of that you won't soon forget. Like maybe you hit the winning shot or the winning home run or something.
And it frustrates me because they don't even play each other anymore. I was at Maryland, Coalfield House. The Jason Williams comeback for Duke.
Ah, okay.
That was a darn good one.
I bet you it was. Growing up, one teacher's class that you would want to duck. A class you did not want to go to.
She used to lay into, excuse my French, you know what. She stayed on me. But I have to give her a lot of credit because of her staying on me. I think a part of me becoming the man I am today. But Mrs. Kyle's English class.
Oh, my God, Mrs. Kyle was tough.
So
yes.
What people don't understand is she used to threaten me because back then when we were in high school, her husband was basically the superintendent of sports in Montgomery County.
Ah, okay.
It was like she would just throw it at me. She probably couldn't do it. It probably couldn't have happened.
Right.
But she always threatened me with, Steve, if you're not taking care of Ben's, I'm going to go to my husband and you're not going to be playing.
Right.
And I was like, damn, Miss Kyle.
Right. I remember Miss Kyle. I had her, Dr. Kleppner.
I tried to duck her class.
Anytime you could?
Matter of fact, I think she forced me into her class like for my schedule.
Oh, really?
She went and made sure that I was in her class.
All right. She kept you in check a little bit, huh?
She kept me in check.
All right. So we're keeping three, getting rid of one.
Is this my fourth one or third?
No, your first was Celebrity Crush.
Yeah.
Fashion Piece or Statement.
Yeah.
The Jason Williams game.
Okay.
And then Dr. Kleppner or Miss Kyle.
Miss Kyle.
All right. Keep three. Get rid of one. Growing up, which one would you have gotten rid of? You don't even have to write this down. Football, soccer, baseball, basketball. I know which one. I'm going to circle the one I think you'd get rid of.
Growing up?
Yeah, because I know the other ones that you love so much.
I'll say this. I was mad that the county couldn't figure out how to let me play soccer and football at the same time.
Okay.
And then right after I graduated, they granted a kid in Howard County the same opportunity.
Okay.
So I probably would say I would throw away football.
That's what I circled right there. That's what I circled.
And I regret that I threw away baseball.
But you're a soccer guy. You're a baseball guy and a basketball guy.
Those are the three I played in high school.
Right.
But I gave up baseball near the end of my last couple years.
Right.
And I shouldn't have.
Right.
I always say that my only regret in sport, and maybe even in high school, was not finishing out playing baseball.
All right. So he'd get rid of football. Ladies and gentlemen, that is your starting five. The starting five.
You're listening to Take a T.O. with Coach Steve Turner and your host, Kirk Cross.
Ray Cruz and MCF Mortgage. With a stellar reputation as an outstanding mortgage lender, Ray Cruz serves the lending needs of real estate professionals, builders, and individual home buyers in Maryland, Washington, D.C., Virginia, Texas, California, Florida, Illinois, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Ray believes that integrity is the cornerstone of his business, and helping you achieve your home financing goals is his business. Located in the heart of Bethesda, contact Ray P. Cruz today to get started. Your home mortgage or refinance options await. Call 301-761-2278 or visit raypcruz.com. Ray P. Cruz, mortgage intelligently.
You're listening to Take a T.O. with Coach Steve Turner and your host, Kirk Cross.
Listen to us on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Buzzsprout, Spotify, and other popular podcast platforms. Tune in on your preferred podcast platform. Be sure to listen, subscribe, and spread the word.
Guarantee the most epic and talked about homecoming or prom when you hire the Mid-Atlantic Professional DJ Association.
Visit us online at www.mapdja.com. The Mid-Atlantic Professional DJ Association, serving the entire East Coast.
And now, back to Take a T.O. with Coach Steve Turner and your host, Kurt Cross.
I have a hard time watching high school kids play or younger kids play because they're more talented than ever. They're better athletes than ever. They can do more things than kids 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. But they're not better basketball players, because this coach or that coach or that system has them playing six games on Saturday and they practice once that week. It's totally opposite of what they do in Europe, where you will practice 6 days and you will play once. So you wonder why all these kids coming from Europe, they say, well, why are they so fundamentally sound? Why can they all dribble? They can all pass. They can all shoot. Doesn't matter whether they're 5'10 or 6'10. Because they practice. They don't play games. Here, it's all about how many games are we going to play? And then are we going to practice this week? Like, I coached the boys' AAU team, okay? My son was on it. We had five Division I players on it. We had three kids and one pro. So we went down and played in Orlando in a tournament that all the college coaches go to. And we had a chance that if we won one more game, we would finish 11th. Now, that's pretty damn good. Because I coached them like a college team, you know? Like, we had pregame meal. I knew where they were all the time, you know? So I treat them like college kids. And they liked it, to a point. And then we had them all coming back the following year. And then two of the kids said, I'm not playing. I said, why not? I said, well, I'm playing on another team. Why? Well, turns out we practice every Tuesday and Thursday like clockwork. Well, the other coach told him, you don't have to practice, just show up for games. So that was that. So those kids, who most kids are going to go, yeah, I don't have to come to practice. No, just show up for games. So coaches are feeding into this because guess what? A lot, I'm not saying all of them, but so many of the coaches that coach don't have any idea how to be a good coach. It's not even their fault.
What you heard was Coach Gino Auriemma from the UConn women's basketball team. Welcome back to Take a TO with Coach Steve Turner. I'm your host, Kurt Cross. Shout out to our listeners on iHeartRadio, Buzzsprout, Amazon Music, Spotify, and our entire listening audience. Please feel free to spread the word as we are growing our listening audience and our social following each week. Coach, let's not waste a moment of time right here. I want to start by saying two important things, because we have to qualify this, because we don't want to make any enemies, but, you know, if we make enemies, we make enemies. This next segment is going to uncover our thoughts on the AAU scene, youth basketball, the culture, and all that comes along with it. Now, not all AAU programs, teams, tournaments, and or coaches, players, and parents are represented in our thoughts. As with anything, there's the good and the bad. Today, we're going to shed some light on what we've seen in the culture. Number two, anyone listening has the absolute right to voice their opinion, write into us, text us, start their own podcast, and offer their take on this subject matter. Please feel free. This is not something that's super scripted. Coach Turner does not know any of the questions I'm going to ask. Him and I have spent a very limited amount of time talking about this. But I want to set the bar right from the beginning. When my kids started playing AAU, I saw you at a St. John's game right after Adam had a game. I went in there because I'm the voice behind the game. And he had just played an AAU game. And what's right with youth sports is that you literally said to him, did you have fun? You didn't say how many points did you score. You didn't say, did you win? You didn't say, you know, what did you do individually or how much playing time did you get or did you start? You said, did you have fun? For all youth sports, soccer, t-ball, basketball, whatever, that is what 97% of our kids should be concerned about. Because 3.3% of our high school athletes will make it to Division I, and then 1.3% of those on the male side will make it to the pros. So you really need to be worried about having fun, getting better, developing camaraderie, learning the discipline of playing a team sport. Because you carry that through life. Because whatever, you know, Joe Schmo does beyond high school, if he goes into the workforce and he becomes, let's say he becomes a laborer, or he builds roofs, or he's an engineer, he's going to have to work with a team. So, Coach, let's set the record straight on what AAU is for those who don't know. Coach Turner and I are uniquely positioned to speak on this matter. Coach Turner is a career mentor, leader, and basketball coach. Not only has he coached for 25 plus years, which would include hundreds, if not thousands of players at every level, he played the sport, watched his sons grow within this and other sports. He's interacted with hundreds of parents on and off the court. He knows the officials. He knows the circuit. He knows recruiting and has seen thousands of basketball games in any number of ways. Coach Turner not only leads the iStreet program at Gonzaga College High School, please know, this is not just a varsity program. It's varsity JV and freshman. It's the WCAC, but he also coaches Team USA / USA Basketball, the Nike Hoop Summit, and has coached internationally in those capacities. For me, I spent 24 years coaching the sport, youth, high school, and college hoops, some on the boys' side, but mostly on the girls' and women's side. Let's set the table. AAU stands for Amateur Athletic Union. AAU Hoops is a tier of basketball where teams exist outside of the normal, formal school environment. These teams typically play year-round, and then they quiet down a bit during the traditional school basketball season. There's typically a tryout, a team selection process, and teams are grouped by age, class, year, and so forth. These teams can schedule to play in leagues, tournaments, showcases, jamborees, and any number of available opportunities. Some teams keep their game play local, and of course, there are opportunities for teams to play against competition in different states. Now, make no mistake, the AAU hoop scene is huge, with some teams being sponsored nationally by national or international brands, sponsorship by NBA players, and a travel schedule in some instances that take these teams hundreds or even thousands of miles away from home base. Coach Turner, let's have the AAU talk. Anything you want to correct about what I've said or speak to in what I've said?
No.
All right. Your overall thoughts on the AAU scene? It's set up for good, and there'll always be good and bad apples. But what are you seeing, your overall thoughts on what you're seeing right now?
It's ever-changing in a lot of ways. I've probably been more recently quoted as saying it's a necessary evil.
Okay.
And it's not the evil in terms of the play. It's the evil that revolves around it and the things that go on. Parents who are out of control.
Right.
Coaches who are in it for just themselves.
Right.
Players not being in it and really truly understanding and respecting what they call their why.
Okay.
And those are some of the negative things for me as I watch it, have had to live in it with children playing in it, being a coach who's had to recruit kids
right.
who play in it. Those are things that I've been able to observe and watch and know that they shouldn't be a part of the game.
And let's make sure, again, I'm going to repeat it, because if someone picks up this podcast in the middle, they're going to think that you have nothing but negative things to say based on that one statement it's not all bad.
No, I could never have a negative thing. I coached AAU. I started my career coaching in AAU.
Right.
So I understand the good. And I probably understand it as well as anybody, the goods and the bads of it. And you start talking to the goods.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable opportunity for kids to shine.
Right.
And in a place where they can grow, develop their game. But most importantly, give themselves an opportunity to take advantage of being recruited so that their parents don't have to pay for college. That is, to me, the ultimate
upside, right?
Number one upside of it is its opportunity to be seen by coaches of all levels, all from all over the country, that give you an opportunity to potentially go get a free education. Or if it's not free and you're going to like a Division III school, where you're going to get an unbelievable education, because a lot of those schools are just as good as Ivy League schools in terms of the education. I just think it has got, you know, I think back to AAU when I played.
Okay.
There were only two teams in the DMV.
Right.
Either you played either you were one of the probably best 24 players in your city.
Right.
And played on one of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
Or you understood that to get better, you were going to be in the park playing against grown men,
mm-hmm.
honing your craft, even after games, figuring out how to rig the lights, keep the lights on, to stay out there and get up more jump shots, work on your ball handling, play three-on-three, learning how to play the game in its smallest parts of the 5-on-5 game.
Right.
And how that was your tutelage. And today it's gotten to a point where any and everybody can play.
Right.
And I'll be honest, like, This is no knock. Everybody's not good enough to go play college basketball.
No.
And so when I think the expectation has gone to, if my kid plays AAU, he's going somewhere.
Right.
And then there's an expectation that when he doesn't, this coach didn't do his job. Da 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 da. It's just gotten ugly.
Steve, you said it, and I sort of mentioned it earlier, but let's be honest with our audience. According to the NCAA, 3.3% of male high school basketball players make it to play Division I NCAA hoops. That pool goes from 500,000 to 18,000. 1.3% of men and 1% of women make it from college to the pros. Everyone's not cut out. So look, my kids love hoops. I don't have two Division I kids in my home.
It doesn't matter. You're a one percenter. You see the value in what playing the sport can do for your child, your children. I shouldn't say child, your children, in terms of life skills.
Right.
But most people, the 99 percenters, are looking at this as a vehicle to the next ticket.
And now, is it their fault or the coach's fault who sold them that dream?
I blame it on them.
Okay.
If you don't do your homework and you're not vested in your child in the way that you say you are, and you're not man or woman enough to see that Billy or Jill aren't as good as Johnny and Caroline.
Right.
And that your child plays a sport, doesn't mean they're a bad player, but they're not on the level of some of the people that you're saying they're better than.
Right.
Because that's your baby. And we have a lot of people in this game who want so much for their child that they're not willing to tell the truth.
And again, not everyone is cut out. Look, to a certain degree, and they're also, like you said, there were two teams. 30 years ago, 35 years ago, there were two teams.
Stop telling my age.
Now, everyone, I'm right behind you, by the way, everyone has an AAU program, whether they're AAU accredited or not.
Well, it's now, if I don't get on, and I'm just going to call it the shoe company teams.
Right.
That's no offense, but those are the top dogs.
The biggies,
let's just call it what it is. Those are the top dogs.
Right.
Anybody can start an AAU team.
Exactly. Whether you have accreditation or not, whether you have great coaches or not.
Anyone can start an AAU team, and anyone can pretty much get their teams in any in some type of an AAU exposure event.
Right.
Because it's pay to play.
Right. You pay $1,200, your team's in.
It's pay to play.
Right.
So there are a lot of people who think just because their kids are or their teams are playing in it.
In the Boo Williams thing, right?
That their kids are now in the one percenters, and they're not.
No. No, and let's not forget, some of these coaches are full of you-know-what, because they'll have a really good team and they'll put them in the average Joe division.
Nah, the best.
That doesn't happen? Coaches don't do that?
I think you probably talk, but you're talking about the non-shoe company teams. Shoe company teams are going to play.
Oh, no.
They're going to play on the circuit.
Yeah.
And,
but you got non-shoe company teams who are, teams are, I won't say elite, but are good, and they're putting them in the rec division just so they can tout a championship.
But touting a championship doesn't get the kid exposure.
So, it doesn't, but it makes parents think they won an AAU championship.
Correct. I would agree with that.
Okay.
I think that's a smaller part of, to this than the bigger problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's a part of the problem, but that's, okay. But there's a bigger problem. The bigger problem is just that we have a lot of folks who won't tell the truth about
the skill level,
the talent level of their own child.
Right.
And wanting it so bad, they are in the belief that being on an AAU team is the only way to get it.
It's interesting because with so many programs out there, I mean, at any one given time, there are probably 25 or 30 tournaments between Baltimore and Richmond right here every single weekend.
No doubt.
You can go to Charm City Classic.
I'm in the wrong business.
Right? I don't know why you and I have not rented a gym and done that. You can go to Ellicott City. You can go to Columbia. You can go to Germantown. I mean, you know the Germantown Soccerplex. Every weekend, they've got 100 teams coming in there. And they've got more teams coming in for soccer.
Yeah.
Because they got all the soccer fields. But, you know, and so parents often who are uneducated are turned on by these exposure events where there's not always the greatest of exposure. And I've seen teams that charge $4,000 or $5,000 that these parents are willing to pay to get their kid on a team where they might go to some of these things, but your kid is not that kid. And while I agree with you, I also blame some of the coaches for just being money hungry and telling these parents.
There's no doubt. We can talk about any and every field in the world. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some slime balls who are in it for themselves.
And they're going to tell mom, your kid's the next Carmelo Anthony. Well,
no doubt.
Right.
No doubt. They're going to sell it because it's a way of making a living for them.
Right. Oh, my God. You're kidding me. Again, not all programs are the problems. However, what roles are the parents playing in the bad parts of this culture? Now, I'm talking not the parents who swear their kid is the best, the parent in the stands. We've talked about that. And I got it, Steve.
Well, we see it. This piece to the problem is not just an AAU thing. So let's clarify that.
That's good for saying that.
Because I see it in what I do as a high school coach.
So every podcast, if this comes up, I'm going to give you your credit. Steve Turner, when he's looking at players, the player could be off the charts. The player can shoot an 18-foot jumper like no one's business. He can see the pass blindfolded, hits every free throw, and is a great practice player. But mom or dad are in the stands, heckling the refs on every call, swearing that her son never committed a foul, and he's always getting fouled every time he goes to the basket. Steve, I'm quoting you when I say, I've heard you talk about turning to a parent and say, you know, I'm recruiting you too. And so you don't want mess in your program.
No. I mean, there's so much that already goes on with it.
Right.
Good, you know, the ups and downs.
Right.
That I don't need that.
Right.
And I don't want that. I don't want that to be a part of my program and who we are. And because we've got a generation that wants so much for their kids, they let this basketball thing become a drug and lose their mind. And,
right.
And it's, you know... And I say, and the reason why I say is, you know, this is not just an AAU problem. This is just it's a sport right. world problem.
It's football, not even just basketball.
It's football, soccer. It's anywhere you go. But for me, at times, I do something that I don't know that every coach in our league does, or even coaches outside of our league do. I try my best to, especially on the road, go sit down mid court to watch my freshman and JV teams play.
Okay.
From home, I stay in my office and watch those games.
Right, right.
But when we play on the road, and we're having
a
triple header that night, I will get there early and sit. To hear the stuff that I hear from behind me,
right,
it disgusts me.
Right,
it's sad. I mean, I catch myself every now and then, turning my head to look and see who's saying it,
right,
and hoping they'll catch my eye so that maybe they'll understand. Like, stop.
Right.
You know, and I can't control that, especially if it's another team's parents, but I'll try my best to control it with my parents. Like, we're not going to be those people.
Right.
And it doesn't make you look good in my light, especially as I'm trying to move guys up the ladder every year to fill voids when we have graduation.
Okay.
I just wish we could get to the point of understanding and just get to the games and cheer your kid on and his team.
Right.
Because it's not an individualized sport.
Right.
It's a team sport. And if you're only in it all the time for one child, you're ruining it.
You're missing the point, yeah.
You're ruining it. You're ruining it for many nights. You're ruining it for him. Because they get embarrassed.
Right.
Like, I've had kids come and say, man, I can't get my mom or dad to shut up.
Right.
Like, and I've had some of those conversations. Like, hey, he just wants to enjoy this. Cheer him on and be his best advocate and be his best supporter. Mm-hmm. And cheer us on. Right. You know, I think the thing that's funny is go watch a high school game and figure out who the parents are.
Oh, it won't
none
take
of
long.
Them, none of them sit together.
Because they can't stand each other.
Not that they can't stand each other.
Okay.
Because they're so afraid that the next parent's going to hear what they're saying negative about a teammate.
Okay.
And they want to be in a place. Sometimes I think they're in there to be seen.
Okay.
For themselves more than even it is for the child.
Okay.
But they won't sit together because it's too hard for them to just cheer the team on. And it's sad.
Wow. Wow.
You know, I promise you, there's not a team in... I'm just going to talk to DMV.
Okay.
that you will have all the parents sitting in the same section.
I'm sure you
will. I promise you there's not. And if we did that, it would I guarantee it would change things because people would be a little more conscious
right.
of what's coming out of their mouth as it pertains to kids who aren't their own.
So when I coached, I didn't actually hear it. And I wonder what Paula and the kids heard. Now that I'm behind the mic, oh, I hear it all the time. There is, I'm not going to call it any names, there is a mom who is a quote-unquote celebrity mom because her daughter, her baby daddy was in the NFL. And they play in the Baltimore region. And her mouth, I'm guilty of this. Some of the stuff she says, I'm cracking my ass off. But here's the fascinating thing. She knows the sport very well. But man, every other word out of her mouth is mother effer this, mother effer that, always on the refs, this, that, and the other. And I've seen parents, when I call games, whether it be a St. John's or St. Andrews, I've called, you know, a bunch of games. And these parents, Steve, are you kidding me? These officials are people too.
Well, as my two boys came up in it and played through it, I found myself, especially when I wasn't coaching for the couple years I coached Jared's team, I decided that I would go back to a hobby.
What's that?
Taking pictures.
Okay. Yeah.
I did not want to be that parent.
Right.
I did not want to be seen as that parent.
Okay.
So I said, how can I take myself away from the emotion? Because emotions get tied into it. I get that part for any and everybody. But I never wanted to be seen as that parent. And especially because, you know, it's not patting myself on the back because of who I am and who I am in the spotlight of,
they're already thinking
of what I do.
Right. There's
already questions, you know, and what ends up happening is that parent always wants to come to me.
Right.
Well, what did you think about what he did here? I said, look, I'm not talking about that, man. I ain't got nothing
right.
He's giving my kid an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I leave it at that. Do I always agree with what they're doing with my child? Hell no. I think my son got screwed in so many ways as it pertains to AAU basketball to the point that I took him out of it for 2 years.
Okay.
So some of that, I think, to do with who I am and people basically sticking it back to me for whatever reason. And most of it was for that. I think he got screwed because of who his dad is.
Okay.
It had nothing to do with who he is as a player because that kid fought hard for any and everybody he's ever played for and never questioned it, left it on the line, played his best. But I think some of his opportunities were stolen away because jealousy, people who just don't like me,
right?
Whatever the case may be. So it was always hard. And I had to be...
Again, proving that it's not always about developing the kid.
I mean, as a parent, I say this all the time to parents. Y'all forget I sit in the same seat as y'all.
Right.
I got children. I didn't coach Jared through AAU. Probably the thing I should have done when I look back at his career, I should have started my own team and coached him all the way through.
Right.
And not leave it to trust others. But I felt the other part of it was he needed to be able to learn how to fight through adversity.
Okay.
That was important to me as a dad as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I left some of who he is to trust into certain people. And it didn't always work out for the best.
Right.
But one thing I did make my son do, you start it, you finish it.
Right. He honored his commitment, right?
You start it, you finish it. And I'm not going to sit there and I'm not calling coaches every night when they don't play you enough or they don't give you the same fair opportunity as everybody else. We're going to learn how to do it. And so I created other opportunities. Put him on a mom and pop's team where he got to be a little more the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I always created environments for him so that he could figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
He had to figure it out in the end on his own.
Right.
Playing on the team, one of the best organizations in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to have a tough conversation with the coach because I wasn't getting involved in it.
Right.
And I said, he just said, hey, Dad, I know that our rule has always been I finish what I start. But if I want to live my dreams, this isn't going to work for me.
Right.
And I got to make a move.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, this is your path and this is about you. You're going to need to make that call and have that conversation with the coach. I said, but I would suggest before you do that, you figure out where you're going.
Right.
I guess in the world of social media and DMs,
mm-hmm.
he was like, Dad, they're my DMs. There's people that want me to play for them. I'll be okay.
Here's the funny thing. You have to teach him as a father, not as a coach, you have to discipline him, you have to coach him, and then you turn into counselor. Yep. Then you have to counsel him, right? Those are four stages of parenthood, by the way. And the thing is, Steve, that what you're saying there is so very important, and I will pat myself on the back. I'm not that parent that gets kicked out of a game. I will turn to Paula, and I'll complain to her quietly. But you know what? I have never seen...
Coach,
an official changed their call because of what I screamed.
I've seen officials get chased by dads.
Right.
I've seen
fights, Steve.
I've seen mothers with child in hand throw a bottle at another mother.
Right.
I've seen fisticuffs between moms. I've seen fisticuffs between dads over AAU basketball. And it should not ever. There's no point in the world that it should ever get to that. Or guys chasing a ref. And referees make the same mistakes as the players make.
Did your son make every free throw? Because if he didn't, then should somebody be chasing him?
Right.
You know?
And so I just think that
Steve,
I call it the LeBron factor. LeBron, not in a bad, I mean, jokingly, I'm not saying this, is that LeBron ruined it for everybody because everybody wants their kid to be the next LeBron.
Right.
And it's not going to be the case.
Right. Look, I want my kids to enjoy playing the sport. I want them. This is what I want, Steve. You know what I want this summer? Both my kids play AAU. I want my kids to practice hard. And by the way, I didn't tell you. So Adam's playing on a team now. He's going into ninth next year. He's playing on a team where boys are driving. They put him on the 10th, 11th grade team.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I just want him to fight through that.
Yeah.
Find his playing time wherever that may be. You know what I want, Steve? I want to plan a trip where I go online and I book a hotel in Pittsburgh. Just go to a couple tournaments this summer. Just get the exposure of traveling with his friends.
Right.
I want him to go to a sleepover at his friend's house. I want him to go for pizza after the game. You know, again, I'm not calling out my children, but neither one of my children appear to me to be Division I basketball players. Chelsea's not going to play for Dawn. She's not. She's not playing for Vanderbilt. She's not playing for Gino. You know, she's not playing for Brenda. And that's cool. She wants to go into forensics. I want her to go pro in forensics. Adam wants to be a chef. I want him to go pro in that. Hell, if I'm going to say it on the podcast, I think he's a better tennis player than basketball player. And that's fine. You know? But that's the experience I want them to have.
A lot of money in tennis.
Right? And that's the experience. A lot fewer injuries, too.
Yes.
That's the experience I want them to have. And I wish that parents could be that realistic. And I wish coaches would be real with the parents, but not when they're selfish. Because some coaches can't do that.
Well, the problem is with that is we want these kids on our team. And right. I'm speaking to the AAU coaches right now. This is not the high school. So we're not willing to always tell them the truth.
Right.
And so we let some things slide because we don't want to say the wrong thing.
We want that $3,300 check.
I'm speaking to the top level where the kids don't pay to play.
Okay. Right.
If I say the wrong thing to a parent about their child, he might leave and go play for the next team.
Might go for three stripes instead of the swoosh.
Exactly.
Right.
So I think there's got to be some more accountability on us as the coaches to be able to have some of those tough conversations and feel like, hey, if they really value what I got over here, regardless of what I tell them, they're going to stay.
And don't you want the coach to say, Steve, here's something else I learned from you. What's the one thing I say? Well, it's not going to happen again because I don't coach. But you told me this is what you do, so this is what I did. I tell those 12 girls and their families, your daughters will become my daughters from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. every day after school and on game day. And what about the coach that cares about the kid versus what the kid can do for me?
See, I think that's the problem. I feel like it's bad, the bad rap that AAU gets, because I think there's a lot of guys who are guys and women who are that.
Okay.
But because of the things that go on in the stands or on the sidebars or on the, or behind the scenes that get out into the streets, it also hurts AAU and gives them a bad rap.
And I know some coaches who are doing all the right things.
Because I can tell you, I've got kids who've played for some unbelievable dudes in this business, and I know the work that they've done to help those kids have opportunities. I know the phone calls that they make just like I do.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we're having conversations. We double down.
Right.
And to make sure that we give our kids, and I like to say our kids, because you always hear my kid. I got two kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly I treat my players like my kids, but in real life, I have two blood kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hate hearing that my guy, my Y'all didn't birth these kids.
Right.
They're not yours.
And you're not the only one who coached them.
Correct. So, but what I will say there is, and I'll go back to where I was, you know, I kind of went off track there. There are a lot of great coaches in this, in the AAU industry, mm-hmm. who do all the right things by their players.
Right.
And I feel bad that they end up getting the rap because of some of the stuff that goes on in the stands
right.
during their time. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily their fault.
Now, do they have to set the record straight, and or can they have a preseason AAU meeting and say, "Look, I don't want this"?
I think they do. I'm sure they do. People gonna be who they are.
I mean, I've heard some parents, and here,
and I've seen some coaches let go of some guys because of it. So there are some guys out here who get it.
I need this from, if I were to ask one thing from parents, when your kid goes into that game and plays for that team, you are doing your kid a disservice if you are screaming things to your kids from the sidelines. Because at this point, the kid has heard you their whole life. Are they supposed to turn to the stands to listen to you or listen to their coach? Because if they're listening to you, it's probably not within the set or the game plan the coach is running. And now they're not being a team player because mom says, shoot it every time her boy gets it, even if it's at 34 feet.
I think the best one is...
What's that?
The best one I hear all the time.
Uh-oh.
Pass it, pass it, pass it. But you never hear pass it when it's your child with the ball.
Right? I hear that a lot. I hear pass a lot. And I hear shoot it. I hear set a screen. I hear all these things. If they're running a set, let them run the set. Because if you tell your child to go ahead and shoot, you know what I see a lot? I hear a lot of parents tell their kids to shoot it without one damn rebounder under the basket, Steve.
Well, I can say this.
Say it.
I say something all the time to my shooters.
Stick it.
And you know what?
What? Most of the time they hit it.
No, not that.
What's that?
For me,
mm-hmm.
stick it.
Mm-hmm.
It's earned, not given.
But you have set, Steve, where you understand that the higher percentage of shots won't go in, and you're positioning your guys for offside rebounds, putbacks, follow your shot, all that.
But if you notice, I don't say stick it to every single kid.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Because.
But when I'm watching a streamed game, I can hear your big ass mouth saying stick it.
Oh, because.
I know, I can hear that.
Because it's in the hands of a kid that I trust to shoot it. Because of what they've done with it in those situations.
If no one knows anything about you, they know sticking is your thing.
For sure.
I hear that. Coach, let me ask you.
Merch coming your way soon.
I know it is. I know it is. Let's talk games versus practices, as Gino mentioned. I'm seeing programs during the weekend. Kids are playing 6, 7, or 8 games. Meanwhile, I'm not seeing those same programs dedicate themselves equally to player development.
So let's talk about that.
Okay.
Gino is correct in what he's saying. It's why you're seeing so many European players coming in to our states and
taking over the game we love.
Yeah. To a certain degree, taking over. But it's so different. High school's not where it's at
overseas. No, it's not.
It's academies.
Right.
Which.
Where Luka at 15 is playing pro ball.
Which our country's looking to go in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope it doesn't affect a high school game.
Okay.
Because here's the problem here.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough gyms for these AAU teams.
Right.
They can only get those guys for a couple nights a week. Right. And that's not any fault to them. That's just the nature of the beast. Most of these high school gyms can't give up their gyms because there's other sports and things going on.
And there's too many damn teams.
During this time. And there's way too many teams. You hit it on the nail. Right. And we have so many teams. How are you going to get these kids that kind of gym time?
Right.
It's impossible. So mm-hmm. I don't fault the AAU guys for that.
Okay.
But it is the nature of the beast as it is in the United States with AAU basketball, club basketball.
Right.
Because it's not like all these clubs have gyms of their own.
Right.
And so because of that, they don't get to have the same amount of time to do as many practices.
Mm-hmm.
Versus play the.
But are 6, 7, 8 games a weekend? Is that what you want? Is that too many games?
I don't think you need it when there's not exposure.
Right. Just for the hell of it.
If you're just playing tournaments to give yourselves an opportunity to grow and expand and get yourselves ready for the run that you're going to make on your circuit,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that you got to play that many games in a weekend. 3 to 4, maybe, but not 6 to 8.
Now, what is this doing? We've talked about something that we've found important over the years in this podcast.
It creates bad habits.
Well, here's my question. What about the multi-sport athlete? Now you're just zoned in on basketball, not working all the muscle groups, not doing what you do in soccer or what you do in football or what you do in baseball or tennis.
Well, I think what happens is people decide what is their number one.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize because of the limited time of practice,
mm-hmm.
I've got to put all my money in one hat.
Right.
And it's changed the way sports are here in America.
Look at Jared. He plays lacrosse and basketball. He was a standout in lacrosse as well as basketball, right? And some people say, do it over three sports. I remember people like, just out of nowhere, Josh Fedlin played more than one sport. You know, you played more than one sport. We see guys who, and I just, you know, you see times where we're waiting for that kid because he's still playing football, right? Or we're waiting for that kid.
Well, back then it was a norm.
Right.
You went to the next sport every change of season.
Well, Steve, I skipped winter because I wasn't a basketball player. But I played fall and spring soccer.
Right.
Believe it or not, I loved soccer and I did play football, but you know, I didn't have the winter sport.
There were many times for me growing up I was playing two sports in a season.
Mm-hmm. You leave baseball and you go to soccer, right?
Yeah, you start the season the school year off. So in the fall, I was playing on the school soccer team.
Mm-hmm.
And I was probably playing on somebody's.
You're probably playing MSI or Select or something also, right?
No, I was playing just soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was also playing probably on like some rec basketball team just to get some runs.
Okay.
Then the winter came.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing for my high school team, basketball.
Right.
But I was playing some winter indoor soccer on the weekend.
Sure.
Spring came. I was playing everything.
Right.
I was playing baseball. I was playing spring soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always going to be hooping.
Right.
So playing hoops.
Right.
And then summer. You're playing everything again.
Right.
So I was playing two sports most every season,
right?
At least. And then in the summer, you're playing all three.
Right. Man, and the kids just don't do that anymore. But they're one sport driven kids, and that all the eggs are in that basket. And I don't know. You know, our kids play for the school teams. Our kids play AAU outside. They go to a couple camps in the summer, and they have fun with. You know what? The one thing our kids have the most fun with? Every year, we go to Fayetteville to a basketball camp.
Yep.
They make friends. They want to stay in the same hotel because the breakfast is banger. And that's just what we do, you know? And those are the memories they're building. I just don't know, you know, if there are 138 AAU programs in the DMV right now, all those kids just can't play somewhere beyond high school.
Here's the blessing in it all. Mm-hmm. And if we could ever figure out to understand and respect the blessing, is that it's a beautiful thing to want things for your kid.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to become better. And that's the parent. I'm speaking to parents right now. We have to become better in realization.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with chasing, helping, and being a part of chasing the dream. It's how we act.
That's if it's their dream, though, right?
Exactly. See, I believe too many of us are trying to live vicariously through our kids.
Right.
And it costs us to be blind at times for things that we really need to be mindful of. And I think that we've got to be better at not chasing one dream.
Steve, if I want to be selfish, I want my kids to run my business. But they got to walk their path.
No doubt.
They got to walk. If it's not in it for them to run a DJ business, it's not.
You just said something else, and that's something I'm always using. I use that same. Each kid's path is his own path.
Mm-hmm.
We have to put our blinders up sometimes to our own kid. And what I mean by that is that social media kills it.
Oh, gosh.
And what I'm saying is my son plays for Team Takeover.
Mm-hmm.
Jared played for Team Takeover.
Right.
The one thing I never did, and I think too many parents do, is they're looking to the right and left of their child,
right?
And they're seeing, oh, Billy just got offered by Duke, and Johnny just got offered by Carolina. Oh, and Johnny also just got Kentucky. I want this for my kid. Maybe it will come.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it will not. And hopefully it comes somewhere in between where maybe it's just not the same level, but the opportunity is still free and a great education.
Right.
But we get caught up in the Joneses and wanting so much for our kid because we see what the kid next to him is doing, and they don't even play the same position.
Right.
They're chasing something totally different. One's a point guard, the other's a wing, and you're mad because the point guard got offered by these schools, and you want that for your son. Well, those schools aren't chasing a wing. So you may not get those offers.
You don't need a big man every year, right, Steve?
I would love a big man every year.
Steve, you know, if you have a starting, if you have three starting point guards that could play anywhere in the WCAC, at this time you might not be recruiting another starting point guard.
Correct.
Right.
But so you have to.
But you'll take 6'10".
All night long.
Shout out to Christian Gerdak, though, because he's the man in the middle.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. And he plays. And you know what? He keeps his mouth shut, too, from what I see.
He just plays.
Hoopers want to hoop, right?
That's it. Leaves it all on the floor.
But you were saying, I'm sorry.
I just think we have to do a better job of not trying to chase the Joneses.
Right.
And allow our child's path to be his or her path.
You know what I just told the kids this past weekend? Expensive stuff, clothes and cars impress broke people. Those offers impress people who don't have those offers. They don't. Others who Here's are in that thing. Realm you can, don't get impressed by that
who
crap.
Who cares about having 20 offers? You can only take one.
You can only take one. And they're all. And if you got 20, they're likely all going to be free, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you this. I don't.
Well, if you got 20 offers, you're part of the 1%. You're one of the best in the country.
Right, right. My aunt went to Emory University. She's making no. I don't think Emory University, an elite school, I don't think Emory got her any further. She's a librarian in a public school system. The person who graduated from Monmouth or Towson is also a librarian. And in the county school system, you go through steps and years, and she's not making any more because she went to Emory.
Right.
This kid goes to Kentucky or they go to University of Delaware. They got the same shot to go to the big tourney, right?
No doubt.
They're both Division I, right?
Both Division I.
All right. So what are you going to do? It's, again, here's another thing. Big fish, small pond. Small fish, big pond. You know, what? If you got a kid who's marginal but really good, they'll probably have more opportunities to play at a smaller D1 school than they will at Duke. Duke's got their choice.
Well, here's the part that the parents are going to have to realize now. It's totally different.
Transfer portal.
NIL, transfer portal. High school kids aren't getting looked at in the way that they used to.
Right.
Unless you're a 1%er.
Right.
And so you got to be smart in how you're chasing this thing and what you're chasing, and when those opportunities come, don't turn your nose down.
Right.
Because it could come and go real quick.
Right.
Transfer portal's probably at over 1,000 now.
The first day they had hundreds.
First day they had 500.
In the transfer portal.
24 hours, 500.
Kids
are still going in by the minutes. I mean, you go to verbal commits. If you want to follow this, parents, it's a tracker. It's done by the minutes, by the seconds, actually. You can see as they go in and as they come out. And it's a lot more going in that's coming out.
Yeah.
So you're going to have kids who are going into this thing that won't come out.
So, for example, this is like free agency.
Basically.
For the layman.
I call it something different, but I'm not going to put that out there right now.
Right? So you've got this transfer portal where kids, there's no loyalty. Kids thinking they're going to get a better opportunity here, there, or wherever. The transfer portal, in part, I'm guessing, let's say you have a guy who's a starting shooting guard and he's pretty good. But I see what my team has recruited. That might bump me out, right?
Here's what you're seeing. You're seeing big-time school kids leave because they're chasing
NIL
money.
Right.
Or collective money.
Collective. Let's talk about it.
Collective.
That's it.
They're chasing collective money.
Right. NIL's different.
Then you got guys who are disgruntled because they don't play who are jumping in the portal.
Right.
It's the Wild Wild West.
Yeah, it is. Wow. It's something, huh? You know, I mentioned it earlier, and you said, I see teams touting championships, and anyone can win an AAU championship at any time because in this city this weekend, there'll be 48 tournaments on the line, and they got to have 48 champions. So I would want parents to be careful when they look at some website and they see six different pictures of six different levels of kids holding trophies or whatever. I mean, you and I can have a tournament next month this time and give out a trophy.
Here's the thing. There's not a college coach in America that is calling to recruit a kid and is going to ask them, did they win an AAU championship?
So what does that mean, right? That's the best way to say it. You just said it, right?
To me, AAU should be about one thing, opportunity of exposure.
Opportunity of exposure. Now, I've also seen.
And I'll say this. I've never told any of the kids who play for me in high school when they come to me to ask about AAU teams.
Mm-hmm.
I never tell them who I think they should play for.
Okay.
I give them a criteria.
Right.
Are you playing?
Mm-hmm.
Is that coach just rolling out the balls or is he really coaching you up?
Okay.
and most probably the most important of all, are they putting you in position to be seen so that you can have opportunity to have exposure and potentially get scholarship offers? Those are my three criteria.
You also mentioned don't turn your nose up at certain offers if your child is lucky enough to get an offer. But I always reference things back because you leave so many nuggets throughout all of our... We've done over 100 podcasts. I mean, we sit here. 4 years we've been sitting here doing this, right? And you said you better make sure that you love wherever you're going because if the sport is taken away... I always use this. Sorry, Gino. Storrs, Connecticut is cold as hell.
Yeah.
Right? If you go to UConn to play ball in UConn, if the sport were taken away, if the opportunity, if the scholarship, if for some reason you didn't make the grade and lost your scholarship or you tore your knee up, are you going to love being in Storrs, Connecticut? Because all they have there is an arena where you will play ball. And they play at Mohegan Sun too sometimes.
Mohegan Sun.
Yeah, they do. Have you been to Mohegan Sun? I've been.
Have not.
Ooh.
But
you went to Foxwoods, though, probably.
I've been to Foxwoods.
I've never been to Foxwoods.
I've been to Foxwoods.
Oh, I love Mohegan Sun.
I think Lee has been to Mohegan Sun.
You know what pisses me off about Mohegan Sun? I'm there for like 3 or 4 days, like 20 years ago. I'm playing. I'm having a great time. Doing my thing. This Bama who works there says, you know, this is only one part of the casino. They have four different wings. I missed the other three wings the whole time. I'm playing in the same part. That's a big place. Yeah. It's in the middle of nowhere. You drive up the middle of the night, we go. I've seen Jay-Z perform there. I've seen Trans-Siberian Orchestra, whatever. And then all of a sudden, bam, all these lights, and there it is in the middle of nowhere. But Mohegan Sun's a wonderful place. Steve, we're going to wrap this up in just a moment.
I think we can go on and on about this for
days. Well, Chelsea was wondering would it be a double episode, because she knows we can.
No, I think we definitely should come back and have some more conversation. I think I'd love to be able to bring in, I'd like to bring in some guests on it.
Let's do it.
I'd like to bring you coach in.
Okay.
And I like to bring a parent in.
Okay.
Some people who've gone through it.
Right.
And
now what level of parent? Because Paula would gladly talk about it. Because she's seen fights. She's seen parents fighting. And this is the way I look at it, Steve. Just like, you know, today I'm wearing a Washington Commanders, whatever, right?
You know who I'd love to bring in, and I think I could?
What's that? Who's that?
I'm going to reach out to Malik Mack's dad.
Oh, okay.
And I'm saying for Malik, I think his dad could speak from a great perspective. He coached. Mm-hmm. He had to watch his son fight from behind, who's now fighting from the front.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of things that he could talk through the experience of probably when he felt, Omar, I hope I'm not talking out of turn, but where he felt his son should be getting more. Mm-hmm. But he also sat back and allowed his son to fight to get what he's getting now. And I think he'd be a great person. So Omar, I hope you're listening to this. And if you're not, I hope somebody that knows us is hearing this, because I'm going to call you and reach out to potentially see if you'll come on and talk from the perspective of a parent. And I definitely like to bring in one of the big dogs from one of the big AAU programs and hear their spot on it.
I've had some great conversations with Miss Walker's father. Kendall Walker's father?
Oh, yeah, Bill's a good man.
I've had some great conversations.
And he could talk from both sides.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He'd be a good one, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I might reach out to him. Yeah. I was saying, though, I'm wearing this Commanders thing. I'm not going to get into a fight with anybody over a Skins Cowboys game. Like, but these parents are getting. I've never seen. Look, let's suppose my son plays for Team X, right? AAU. They ain't writing me no check. I ain't getting into no fight with no parents over.
It's not that serious.
And I've seen the bad though. I've seen kids not go to practice but get to start games, and there's other kids who are going to practices and are not, you know, not getting that much playing time. And you know, I understand there's different skill levels.
Yeah.
Steve, if you're a shooting guard and I'm a shooting guard, and
you got to play, you got to practice, you got to come to practice to play.
That's my whole thing. And I will say this, and this will be the last thing I say on this. I've been on both sides of that. I have a defensive player of the year sitting in this house right now. Starts every game. Goes out of town, misses two practices, and comes back and starts. And that's not fair.
Do your thing, girl.
That's not fair. And still gets to start. I don't think that's fair to those who have been there, but I've also seen on that team where someone...
Now, Curtis, there are some circumstances.
Yeah, they got a whole healthy team, though.
Nah, but there's some circumstances. There's a family situation. You know, it depends on the situation.
We went to L.A. for the weekend, Steve, just to party in L.A.
Oh, then...
It wasn't a family situation. We went to a Lakers game.
Then my girl should have came off the bench the next
day. Right, that's what I'm saying.
I can respect that.
We flew to L.A. for the weekend.
I respect that.
That's all that was. Anyway, that wraps up this segment of Take a T.O. We will be back after these messages.
The hottest hits. lighting and visual effects, heart-pounding bass, the Mid-Atlantic Professional DJ Association, Dynamic DJ Entertainment.
Healthy Baller is dedicated to developing athletes at any level through customized programs created by our world-class trainers. Healthy Baller creates an unparalleled training experience centered around the athlete and coach relationship. Between our physical therapy team and strength and conditioning staff, we create an all-encompassing process to help injured athletes return to the field. Become your own success story. We offer group and team training, individual workouts, or semi-private training. Call 844-622-5537 or visit healthyballer.com.
Everyone loves a photo booth. At Epic Photo Booths, we provide your corporate event, private party, mitzvah, or any event with an incredibly fun photo booth experience. With a touchscreen design, fun props, backdrops, and more, you'll want to book your Epic Photo Booth today. Photos are delivered via text, QR code, AirDrop, and yeah, our Epic Booths print too. Book your Epic Photo Booth today by going to www.epicbooths.com. Epic Photo Booths. Elevate the fun at your next event. Go to www.epicbooths.com. You're listening to Take a TO with Coach Steve Turner and your host, Kirk Cross.
Listen to us on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Buzzsprout, Spotify, and other popular podcast platforms. Tune in on your preferred podcast platform. Be sure to listen, subscribe, and spread the word.
And now, back to Take a TO with Coach Steve Turner and your host, Kurt Cross.
Welcome back to Take a TO with Coach Steve Turner. I'm your host, Kurt Cross. And of course, Coach Turner is the other half of his weekly podcast. Coach, let's get into our next segment. March Madness, baby. March Madness.
It's been a beautiful thing.
NC State, Purdue, and Alabama, UConn. Other than Leah, I don't know who the hell called NC State or Alabama to be in this thing.
It's
right
crazy.
Now. Right? Jeez. And UConn's
playing. Matter of fact, babe, go pick up them lottery tickets.
She's the lucky one, right? I'm going to tell you right now that UConn is giving zero Fs about Cinderella stories. They're taking out all comers right now. And sometimes it ain't even close.
Yeah.
Purdue, that young man is doing his thing. And I'm not going to talk about what I saw on Twitter. Yeah. I'm not going to talk about that. But NC State is on this unbelievable run where, let me tell you this, ain't nobody tell NC State they didn't belong. Because they're believing every bit of what they're doing.
Nine lose and go homes, and they've won them all.
Let me ask you this. Are they running a Val Vano story right now?
Oh, they're definitely the Cinderella.
Okay.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Right.
They win this thing. This story could surpass the Val Vano story.
By the way, 22 years ago today, the Terps bought home their title. Juan Dixon.
Wow.
Chris Wilcox. Who else was on that team?
Oh, Stevie Blake.
Oh, Steve Blake. Yeah,
Steve
yeah.
Blake. Byron Mouton.
Oh, God, you remember them all, don't you?
Chris Wilcox.
Akizi wasn't on that team, right?
So I'm going to go, I'm sidebarring this because you brought this up. We'll come back to where you were going.
Okay.
But this is my problem with Maryland, the Maryland fans.
Okay.
I've heard since Coach Turgeon was the coach, now with Coach Willard, we got to keep the guys at home. We got to keep the guys at home. Right?
Mm-hmm. You are here now.
Well, we just named the team, right?
Right.
We missed the last starter, Lonnie Baxter, by the way. Okay. Did Maryland win a national championship with all homegrown Maryland players?
No, Lonnie was local. Okay. Juan was local. That's about it, right?
Okay. And were they the best two players on the team?
I don't think so. You think Lonnie was?
People will say Juan was.
Right, Juan,
people will say Juan in the end.
Right.
But if we go to the experts,
right,
Juan and Lonnie don't sit high on the rankings of the guys. Who were the two highest rated players on that team?
I don't know, but don't forget Drew Nicholas was there.
Drew right? off the bench.
Wilcox. Wilcox was on the higher ones, right? Because he got...
Wilcox and Steve Blake were the highest rated dudes on that roster.
Not local.
Non-local.
Right.
So, Maryland fans... stop trying to tell the Maryland coaches that they need to keep everybody homegrown. It's not necessarily the formula for them
right.
to win.
Steve Blake is from Florida. Chris Wilcox is from North Carolina.
Yeah, Taj Holden from Jersey.
Right, you had Taj. Ryan Randall, I don't remember.
Mouton, what was he?
Mouton, Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Yeah.
So your two homegrown guys was a Baltimore guy and a guy from Silver Spring.
Juan, yeah.
Who were great players for that team.
Right.
But they weren't the highest ranked. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't all about keeping the Maryland-based players to be successful.
Right. So NC State is on an unbelievable run. Purdue is who we thought they were. Alabama, they're not necessarily the Cinderella. They would be, but NC State's got that story on lock. And UConn. And I can't say, who's it? Hurley?
Danny Hurley.
It's Hurley. Okay. And I don't know the Purdue coach. Maybe you can tell me about that. I'm not into them inside like that.
Easily one of the best coaches in the game.
Okay.
If you're a big man,
mm-hmm. go to see him.
You it's a place you want to go.
It used to be Indiana.
Hey, Purdue, let me tell you.
Right.
He gets the best out of his bigs,
mm-hmm.
and he always puts the right type of guards who can knock down shots and make plays around them.
Because, you know, if you went to Bobby Knight, you was going to big man camp all the time. You going to set a rack of screens messing with him.
Yeah, but Bobby had some guards now.
Right? No, he did. But on the women's side, tonight, I'm licking my chops.
Oh, tonight is all about is
some big games. And by the way, I'm sorry.
Not just big games, but big names.
Kiki is out of it, man. I was so hoping Kiki Rice would get there.
I was hoping for that as well.
LSU, Iowa, are you serious? Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark again? Not in the finals?
Hands waving in the face, pointing the rings.
This is going to be a heavyweight fight tonight.
I think we're in for a doozy tonight, but I'm excited. I'm just as excited for the other game.
You want to see UConn, USC.
Hey, Juju.
Bad girl, ain't she?
Bad girl.
Yeah, she is.
Juju brings back to me some of the biggest names that have ever played in the women's game, in my opinion.
Okay.
Shamika Holzclaw.
Mm.
Candace Parker.
Right.
Swoops.
Tamika Catchings.
Like those guards that, I hate saying it like this, so don't take offense, people, please.
Mm-hmm.
But had fluidity that you could see them playing in the men's game.
Right.
And
usually you get that out of your threes, right? Your wing players.
Your wing players. And she has that. Like, if you put Juju in the dark, I'm telling you, and didn't know she was a female, her fluidity to her game
right.
would make you think you might be watching a male basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's not, there's no offense in that. That's me giving praise.
Right.
I think it's a beautiful watch to see how the women's game is, it's an ode to the way the women's game is changing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these women, man, the way they play the game now.
Right.
You got girls dunking. I hate using the word girls. We have women dunking regularly now.
Regularly.
We have women playing above the rim.
Yeah. You got women shaking and baking.
And I always say this about the women's game anyway. I love watching it because they run stuff.
Right. They run sets.
I've seen some teams that I think in the men's side went down because late in the shot clock, all they could do was go to pick and roll. And
if you defend that.
if you got coaches that know how to defend it and stop it.
Right.
You look bad.
Right. Because it's not there. Well, this is coming from the coach that runs the best sets in the WCAC. You run the hell out of some sets.
I appreciate that. I don't know if everybody feels that way, but
you know what? They're not on the show right now.
From a friend, I appreciate the comment.
Damn, not even a basketball mind?
No, you know.
Just a friend.
You're my friend before basketball mind.
Oh, okay. All right.
I look at friendship over basketball as a piece of who I am.
1984 Eastern Middle School.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
That's what I'm talking about. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's a beautiful thing to watch. There's things that I think all coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Not men, not women, not anything divided. I think all coaches can take a lot from the women's game when you watch the things that they run when it's time and score.
It's backdoor cuts. It's great screens. It's, you know, look, I don't understand why more teams don't get this, Steve. If you move the ball and use shot or pass fakes, you're going to get a lot better looks.
Yep.
You just are.
I think you can simplify. This game,
yes,
this game can be so simplified in a lot of ways. I think sometimes we muddy the waters too much.
You know what I learned by watching Coach K? Well, I'm not a big fan of Duke, but the defense moves when the ball moves. Just get them out of shape. Attack. Do something. But if you move the ball around on a 30-second shot clock, if you move the ball around for 20, 22 seconds, something's going to open up. Someone's going to forget their assignment, yeah. Right? Someone's going to get caught looking and not doing the shell drill, right? And something's going to be open. Usually, the person who V-cuts or backdoor cuts, it's going to be open at some point.
Well, I'll say this. We can talk all about offense, but the four teams that are in it,
Play defense.
They found a way to play D.
By the way, half the bracket is already set. North Carolina State, South Carolina. That's going to be a hell of a game. Don, is Don playing chicken with these people? Because they've had a couple of close ones.
I'm watching them take their foot off the gas at times. It's something I talk to my guys about all the time. Mm-hmm. When you see the blood,
yeah, you gotta go.
You gotta be like a shark and go.
Right.
You can't. These teams are all too talented.
By the way, Paul looked it up. Don was wearing an $8,300 Gucci top the other day. See that black Gucci top?
Hey, the black Gucci. The night before, the game before, though, she had.
What was she wearing?
Oh, she had on the. She had the blue and white Louis.
Oh, did she? Oh,
she. Spend that check, baby.
Is it 80 something? But is she spending the check or is Louis putting it on?
Yeah, I was gonna say,
is could that be, her NIL?
Could be some passes on, because I say
some collective.
Her and my girl,
Mulkey.
Nah. My girl in Notre Dame.
I can't.
Ivy.
I can't say her name.
Isn't something Ivy?
Oh man.
Oh Jesus.
I'm not Notre Dame fan. Only play. Much.
Well, let me tell you. They. She had on the Prada the other day.
Oh, did she?
She had like a crop top Prada. Jean jacket. I said, the women are showing out.
Right.
They showing out.
She was
a heck of a guard, too.
Arizona. I forgot about their coach. The women's coach in Arizona.
They lost. Who did they lose to?
I don't know, but remember, they were in it last year. They didn't.
They got to the Final Four, I thought.
Yeah, they got to the Final Four, and she got criticized because she dropped the F-bomb, and right. The camera was on her. Which men's coach doesn't do that, by the way?
Big Edie dropped one yesterday.
Oh really? but no, South Carolina, I think it's theirs to win. But we'll see, because LSU, here's the thing. I'm not a huge LSU fan, but they keep finding ways to win. And Reese has more double-doubles than anybody. So, I mean, it's happening.
Well, I think,
but you got Cardozo.
I think there's so much controversy right now around LSU. Is
LA Times, Washington Post.
You got the guy from the Post chasing Mulkey. The
stories.
And here's my thing. I hate when media chases after people in the midst of what they're doing.
Yeah, come on, man. It's the wrong time.
Like, if he felt this way, wait till they finish.
Right.
Because right now, you're not just affecting Mulkey. You're affecting a lot of young women.
Right.
And I think that part's unfair.
Right. And one of the things that they quoted was that she said to Angel Reese, perhaps she wasn't get considered for some things because of her grades or because of this social media crap. If that's the way Mulkey feels, that's the way Mulkey feels. I think social media is crap, too. It's just, it's half good, half bad. But good Lord, it spirals you into a whatever. And maybe she wants her players more focused than to be on social media all the time. I get it. You didn't have that worry. Jared has that worry. We didn't have that worry. Not that I was a Division I athlete, because I was not.
I wish I had that worry.
Right? 40 years, not your age, but we're talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, okay? When he was in college, he didn't have the social media worries. No. There's a lot of distractions for these young people and a lot of vultures and a lot of people who just, we just got a tweet that we don't even know if it's true.
Right.
But they're starting some shit, right? They're starting some shit about one of the players in the NCAA, which may or may not be true.
Right.
They're not going to retract it if it's wrong.
No.
But that thing is going to be seen a million times, right?
I think that's the piece. We can go back to what we were talking about earlier.
What's that?
Be careful about always wanting to be on top.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you get to the top, it's going to be somebody who doesn't like you from below, and they're going to try to find everything they can
some shoulders.
To bring you down.
You better have some big shoulders with that. Oh, man, Coach, this has been a whole lot of fun. It's almost that time.
Coach, we can go on and on. You know how it is without sports. But tune in tonight.
Oh, we got some games tonight.
Get your popcorn out.
Oh, it's going to be
some popcorn. Because the one girl we ain't talking about
is who?
Paige Beckers.
Oh, we're not even talking about her. That's right. We're talking about Caitlin. We're talking about Reese. We're talking about you. We're not talking. Paige might have something to say about it. We can't bring her on. She's going to get mad at us. We ain't give her no love.
Paige, I know who your best friend is.
Huh? We know who her
best friend is. We're going to get you on here.
Can I talk to you about Paige for a second?
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to call an AZ FUD game. Paige is from Minnesota. She has the weekend off from school or a holiday. She's in the gym shooting at Gallagher. And I'm like, this is the best player in the country? She was just in street clothes, just doing it. And I'm like,
Paige can boogie.
So
I'm happy to see her back from the injuries and playing her best basketball.
I just hope there's no more. Because
I'm just hoping I get one season of the two of them together.
That's trouble. I think Gino's praying for that, too.
One season
Gino wants that
of the
too.
Two of them together. That's all I'm praying for that.
Thanks again, everyone. We'll be right back here for episode 20 before you know it. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time. Coach, sign off.
Fans, listeners, keep plugging in, share, like. We need more listeners. And don't be afraid to send in comments or even request of conversation. We appreciate you.